during the COVID-19 pandemic, many people turned to video games to pass the time while in quarantine. But as people were logging on to attack the latest level, cyber criminals were ready to launch attacks on this new batch of gamers. For more on this, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Professor Justin Kappos, Professor of Computer Science and Engineering at New York University's Tandon School of Engineering. Thank you so much for joining us. I guess the logic here is apparent that as more people went online to do these things, more people who are scourges online followed them.
Yes, that's very true. Cyber criminals go where the money is at, and certainly there's a lot of money in online gaming because that is what a lot of people spent their leisure time during the pandemic doing. But really, attacks on video games have been going on really as long, almost as long as there have been video games.
That's interesting. So where is the focus? What sorts of games are likely to get the most attention from bad guys?
Well, certainly anything that has a payment option in it, so a lot of mobile games where you pay for things like this, those have a lot of focus from attackers who want to try to use it to make money. And there are also many games where you spend a lot of time and energy doing things like leveling up your character or acquiring certain items or things like that. And if an attacker can get in and steal those items or steal your account, then they can often sell them on the market and make money.
So were there specific games that were more popular for both players and for the people who would hack them?
I mean, a lot of games have grown in popularity, but it's really the sector as a whole that have games that have either monetization involved or have games where the account themselves have some value. If you play a game where you just log in and you're not really paying for a lot, the sorts of things you're doing are not stored on a progressive level. Like you're not building a character up to level 99 that might take you, a year of playing in game to do for an average person. If you just have something where you sit down and you play a fighting game and fight against a random person and, you know, you could go and uninstall that game and install a fresh copy and it's the same game, those will tend not to have the same monetary value with them because the accounts aren't all that valuable.
Presumably the game makers know that there are vulnerabilities. What are they doing about it?
Well, it's a very hard problem for them to deal with. Game makers have to deal with a lot of different things, in order to make a game fast and responsive, to make it fun, to get it out quickly. And, of course, they have to do all this where the margins of what they make on a lot of these games isn't particularly high. And so security is usually not their primary focus. And it's very hard for them in many cases to appropriately address these types of issues. But they do put some emphasis in, and there have been enough horror stories in industry that there is a bit of care. But it's obviously you'd rather play a fun game than play a game that's secure but not fun. So it's just not their top priority.
Yeah, you mentioned that this has actually been going on for a while. So what did companies learn from the PlayStation attack in 2011?
Oh, geez. There's a lot of lessons to be learned from different historical attacks and things like this. There have been a lot of lessons the industry's learned around digital rights management software in particular, especially. They've learned a lot about prevention against DDoS and trying not to have frameworks that need to always be up. When I say about digital rights management, this has fallen out of favor for a lot of gaming companies and organizations because attackers, the bad guys have shown that it's not overly hard for them to bypass a lot of digital rights management software. And so really all it does is slow things down and cause inconveniences for gamers that want to buy things and do things legitimately. I can certainly remember the olden days when you would buy a game and it would come with a book and it would ask you for a page out of the book, a word on a certain page or something like that to get past a certain part of a level. And one of the things that myself and my friends who were technically minded would do would be to play a game like that and then find a way to make it so we didn't have to keep pulling out the book every time we wanted to play it because we found it annoying. And now hackers are doing that on a much more aggressive and advanced level as some game companies have tried to adapt by improving that process themselves.
So in the 30 seconds we have left, what advice do you have for gamers about avoiding this sort of trouble?
Yes. So there's a couple key things you can do. First of all, don't download games or cheating tools for games from unofficial channels. This is a big source of people getting malware onto your system and just, you know, being able to hack your copy of the game and then resell your thing. The other is use a strong, unique password, perhaps using a password manager in order to protect your accounts that you go to log into for games so that someone doesn't steal your account from there.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. We've got to leave it right there. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Eric.
That is Justin Kappos, professor of computer science and engineering at New York University.